And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you join me once again in Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6. This morning, as you're turning, there's the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6. Just a quick review. Last 2 weeks, we focus on the prayer. Jesus gave us a guide for prayer. Not that we have to pray at every word for word. It's okay to do so, but it's a guide for expansions. It touches different areas of prayer that we're to not only incorporate into our prayers, but to amplify or to expound on. And some of you remember, I'm sure, the words of a hymn. The hymn is actually titled, I believe, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Y'all remember that? And one verse says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Prayer is a privilege, isn't it? Thank God for the privilege of prayer. We talked about that some a couple weeks ago. And then last week, we focused on the purpose of prayer. Because if we don't know the purpose of prayer, not only will our prayers possibly or probably not be effective, we can be misguided by expectations that are not realistic. So we want to know what the purpose of prayer is so that we pray effectively and so that we accomplish the purpose of our prayers. And so we focus on those the last 2 weeks. And just to, again, before I read those verses, I'll read these scriptures one more time for just to get in the flow here. But before I read you the verses there in Matthew chapter 6, let me once again read these from Luke 5 if you want to write them down. We'll put them on the screen. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, the Word of God reads, "However, the report went around concerning Jesus all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So because of that, because he was so busy, just crowds and so forth, the demands, expectations, Jesus himself often," would you say often? "Often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Now, Jesus is our example. If, brothers and sisters, we need to make some time to be with the Lord in prayer. It won't just happen, will it? There's just too much. There's too many distractions. There's just too much going on, regardless of what season we may be in life. But we need to make some time, not just for our requests. Thank God, that's part. But if we will make some time to just focus on Jesus and enjoy being with him and to worship him and to just focus on his goodness and to pray and seek him and to think on his word, if we do not make that time, we will rob ourselves of fullness of joy. We'll rob ourselves of fullness of peace. And we'll rob ourselves of fullness of strength, because we need that close fellowship with Almighty God. If we know him as Father, we need that close fellowship with our Lord in order to have power to pray and in order to have power for victory. And so the message I want to center on this morning is just simply this: pray in the power of the Spirit. Pray in the power of the Spirit. We've talked about the privilege of prayer, the purpose of prayer, and now the power of prayer. Pray in the power, and let me make sure I clarify this, okay? It's the power of God's Holy Spirit, all right? Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. So then let's look at this here in Matthew chapter 6. And the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray." Some translations say, pray like this: "Our Father in heaven." It must start with relationship. Prayer is just flows out of relationship. It's just communion. It's communion and conversation with our Father. Communion and conversation. "So our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, may your name be kept holy." It's an expression of worship. "Your kingdom come, your will be done." See, that's the real purpose. There's, I believe, one main purpose Jesus gave us here of prayer. Now, our needs can be included in that and everything else, but the main purpose is to get closer to God and for his will to be done, which Jesus linked to the expansion of God's kingdom. Notice, your kingdom come and your will be done. And brothers and sisters, God has chosen to use our prayers. Would you just turn to someone next to you and says, it's your prayers. Would you say, it's my prayers? See, God has chosen to use our faith-filled prayers, not just words, our faith-filled prayers to expand his kingdom and his will right here on earth. So God has chosen to use us. And of course, now, all right, so let's say here's a person, and maybe someone's watching right now, maybe someone in this place, and you know in your heart that you're not right with God. And there's that conviction, that uneasy feeling of the Holy Spirit. Not that you're just a bad, stupid, unworthy person, but you know you've sinned. You have broken the commandments of the living God. And the Bible tells us there is a penalty for breaking God's commandments, is death. On the back of your bulletin there, you see where I listed some verses there where it says that sin separates us from a holy God, places us under condemnation, and one day we'll face the wrath of God against sin at the judgment. But thank God, the good news is he loved us so much that he didn't want us to face wrath. He wants us to experience mercy. So Jesus bore our judgment. He bore the wrath of God for us when he suffered and died on the cross. And he conquered death 3 days later. Satan has been defeated. Death has been defeated. The darkness has been defeated. And Jesus is alive forevermore. And when God's Spirit draws us to that place of saying, I know I've sinned, but I want to be right with God. Jesus, I believe in you. You are the Son of God. I want you to be my Lord. There's a miracle takes place. Our sins are completely forgiven and washed away. And we are made righteous in the eyes of a holy God. And when that happens, every time someone comes to the Lord that way, Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom, to enter the reign of God. And when we are born again, God's kingdom just grew by one person and God's will was accomplished. So what happens when God expands his reign and expands his will? What does the devil do? Does he just quit and give up and run hide? Don't you wish? Satan opposes. But this is what I want to emphasize. If we know the Lord, God has given us his Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. He's given us the full set of armor, and he has given us the authority of his name to use in prayer. We're not helpless little weaklings here. We are the army of the living God. We are the body of Christ. Pray in the power of the Spirit. He goes on, he says this in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. We have needs, don't we? And they're spirit, soul, and body. That's what I want to emphasize. It's not just, in other words, we can pray for more than bread. You all understand that, right? So as we can expand it. It's a guide to go by. Let me give you these scriptures here. If you just stay right there, if you want to write them down. We actually sang these words this morning from Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let me read a few verses beginning in verse 1. If you want to write them down, they'll be on the screen. The Bible says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he told them, he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then, so they went out and did what the Lord told them. They come back in verse 16. Well, verse 16 says this, he who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. See what I'm saying? Jesus has given us the authority of his name over the demonic realm. So he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. They represent those demon spirits and powers. And over all the power of the enemy. Notice that. He's given us authority over all the ability of the enemy. Authority is better than ability in this case. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. That's my testimony, as we were singing. My testimony. My name is written in heaven. He says, you'll always have a cause to rejoice. Now use the authority I've given you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven and you know the Lord. Thank God. How do we pray in the power of the Spirit? It's easy to say, pray in the power of the Spirit, but we got to make it practical. We have to live it out. So how do we pray in the power of the Spirit? I believe Jesus gives us two words here that will help us to pray in His Spirit's power. And here are the two words. If you write them down, we'll give you some verses. But here they are. Forgiveness. We must be forgiven. So forgiveness and fellowship. How do we pray in the power of the Spirit? Forgiveness and fellowship. Forgiveness and fellowship. Would you say that with me? Forgiveness and fellowship. Let's break this down a little bit. Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18, the Bible says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So if I regard, that Hebrew word means to see and recognize. In other words, I know I've got sin in my heart, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Then we just short-circuited the power. If we know the Lord and we just blocked our own prayers. That wasn't the devil blocking him, that's us. If we choose to harbor sin in our heart. So if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Then he goes on, if you're still there in Matthew 6, let's keep looking at the guide Jesus gave us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Wow. I like the receiving part of forgiveness. I don't get quite as excited about the giving part. I'm just being honest. Because sometimes, you know, when we've been hurt, wounded, offended, those emotions are so strong. And sometimes it's not just the hurt. Sometimes it can get over into anger. Forgiveness costs something. Forgiveness cost Jesus, didn't it? Cost him dearly. And forgiveness costs us. Because forgiveness is the release of a debt. See, when someone hurts or offends us, it's easy to say, you owe me now. And we put that debt on them. And then forgiveness says, I'm going to release you from the debt. Brothers and sisters, there's only one way I know of to forgive. And that is simply this. It's not an emotion. Because we can have emotions raging with everything in us. Man, I want to. You know, I'll say get even and more. But all the emotions is not emotion. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a choice. Forgiveness is a choice we make by faith in God because Jesus suffered and died on the cross to so freely and abundantly forgive us. As much as it may hurt, I'll never forgive another human being the debt God has already forgiven me because of Jesus. That's the only way I know how to forgive, is that I must receive the forgiveness of God. And then, Lord, I'm hurting, I'm angry. But because of you and you loved me, I'll do this for you. And I'm just going to release them and I'll trust you to handle it. So when we sin, we must repent. And receive the forgiveness of God. If we repent, if we come to that place, in fact, is the timing of God is so interesting. If you're watching or if you are not here today in person, you know, each week I put the children's take-home page on the website. And in the children's church, they've been going over the Lord's Prayer the last same weeks as we have. And today, the Bible point in the children's church is saying sorry is part of prayer. The same thing, same timing. And it's amazing. I look at that and I'm preparing for something else, how God just coordinated it. And it repentance just simply coming to that place of saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong. No excuses, no blame. I want to make it right. And that's then you receive. Jesus died to pay for our sins. So then receive and thank him. Thank him for the forgiveness. Thank him for restored fellowship. So repent and receive and then release forgiveness to those who need it around us. And then let's trust God for grace. Trust God for wisdom. Maybe I need wisdom to avoid being hurt again in some situations. And trust God for healing of our wounded emotions. So how do we pray in the power of the Spirit? First, forgiveness. Joyce Meyer wrote this in a devotion I was just reading. She says, forgiveness closes the door to Satan's attack so that he cannot gain a foothold that might eventually become a stronghold. I'll read it one more time. Forgiveness closes the door to Satan's attack so that he cannot gain a foothold that might eventually become a stronghold. Would you say, pray in the power of the Spirit? Pray in the power of the Spirit. Would you tell someone next to you, pray in the power of the Spirit? So forgiveness and then fellowship. In fact, he goes on, Jesus says this in verse 14 and 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So here's what happens. Either unrepentant sin on our part or unforgiveness for someone else, it just blocks the flow of the power of God's Spirit in our lives. Can't you tell it? You don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but you know in your heart, if you've got sin in your heart, you can't pray with full authority, can you? If you're harboring, you're just willfully, not that you're not hurt or angry or upset, but if you just choose to nurse that and hold on to it, man, don't you sense the condemnation of Satan? And we can't pray in the power of this, and that's exactly what he wants. The devil wants to keep us condemned or offended to such a degree that we're not praying in the power of God's Spirit, and so we can't damage his kingdom and extend God's. So we're on to him. We're wise about his tactics. So pray in the power of the Spirit. And then if you look back at this, in fellowship. So forgiveness, yes, Lord, I repent. I receive your forgiveness. And this person hurt me. I don't even like them right now. But I release forgiveness, and I'll choose to love, and I'll just trust you. He is the healer. So forgiveness, and then the second one, fellowship. If you notice this prayer, I'll say it this way. Every aspect of this guide Jesus gave us is both current and corporate. It's current and corporate. In other words, it's a now prayer. When we pray our Father, we don't mean that one day we'll get to know him, you know, in heaven one. No, we know him right now as Father, if we're going to know him. Is his name holy right now? Yes. Do we need food to eat right now? Yes. I'm talking about in an hour or so for you know. We need our daily. It's like right now for God's kingdom and his will. It's not just one day in the sweet by and by. Lord knows the world needs God's reign and God's will right now. So the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's also not only a now prayer, it's a body of Christ prayer. It's corporate. Yes, we're to pray individually. But Jesus gave us the guide that didn't just say, my Father. Notice what he says here. Our Father in heaven. It's our. And then he says this, verse 11. Give us this day, would you say it? Our daily bread. Notice. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation. That word temptation is the Greek word. It means test, trial, and temptation. Do not lead us into temptation, testing, trial, but deliver us, rescue us from the evil one. Notice that. Us, our, we. Do you see that? We're to pray individually, but we are not to isolate ourselves from the body of Christ in self-centeredness. Our, we, us, we need each other, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, the devil wants to condemn us. He wants to isolate us, and he wants to intimidate us. Have you experienced it this morning when we come together? Again, thank God for the prayer times and worship that we can have, and we are to have. See, our personal prayer lives should enhance the corporate prayer life of the church. And our times together in prayer can inspire us in our individual prayers. So I'm not going to just wait till next Sunday morning to pray again or to worship. We need each other. I was watching a testimony. Actually, I was watching a church service here. Let me think here a minute. I believe it was last Sunday afternoon or evening. I just went up, I turned the TV on, was flipping it around. And I caught the end. Some of you are familiar with Robert Morris. Any of you familiar with Pastor Robert Morris at Gateway? I came in on the end of it, so I'm sorry if I don't have every detail exactly right. But, of course, they have a ministry that goes out on the airwaves, so forth. And someone watched was familiar with their services, and they have a daughter, I believe she was 8, who had a disease, a sickness, that required them to go to Dallas for a specialist. And she had to have a very, involved procedure. And so while they were there, they decided to go to the service at Gateway that Sunday. And so they just went. Now, there is a place, I'll read the scriptures to you in just a moment, where we're to anoint with oil. You know, if someone wants prayer, they come and ask the church leadership, anoint them with oil and pray a prayer of faith over them. But no one even did that. They went to the service and just joined in the worship. They went to the doctor for her procedure, and they did a test, and they just ran tests all that first day. They told her to come back, and the second day, they just ran tests again on that little girl, all day, just test, 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 and they didn't do the procedure, and they said, come back a third day, and they went back a third day, and they told them, we have no explanation. We cannot explain this, but there is no evidence of any sickness or disease in her body. And that was simply from being in the presence of God with the people of God where the power of God was manifest. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you, if that was my daughter, yeah. Thank God. Pray in the power of the Spirit. There's something about fellowship. See, the devil wants to keep us isolated. It's like the body of Christ is so disjointed. We got a part here, a part there, a part here, here a part, there a part, everywhere a part. We need better ligaments and tendons to connect us so that the flow from heaven will flow from his throne unto his own and go to a world in great need. Pray in the power of the Spirit. Would you just, if you want to write these verses down, and then if you'll join me in Acts. The Bible says this in James chapter 5. Let me read you those since I referred to them a moment earlier. James chapter 5, verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, if there is something that may have been sinful there and they receive that forgiveness, then they're going to be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and what? Pray for one another. So that's what I'm saying. The word of God commands us to assemble together. The word of God says build up one another. The word of God says comfort one another. The word of God says encourage one another. The word of God says pray for one another. So do you see how it's not just I'm thinking on myself, and I know sometimes people can't always be here, but you understand the heart is there. So it's considering others, and then we pray for one another, and notice what he says. We pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. See that phrase is two words, effective, fervent. In the Greek, it's one word. You know what it is? Energeo. The energetic prayers of a righteous man, the energetic prayers of a righteous woman avails much. Pray in the power of the Spirit. How much energy do you put in your prayer? Energetic. Pray in the power of the Spirit that you may be healed. I was just curious. I will ask you to raise your hand on this one. How many of you, have you ever experienced, have you ever been in a setting where the people of God were gathered together? Doesn't matter, home, church building, office building, wherever it may have been. Have any of you ever been together with the people of God and there's been a time of just prayer and seeking the Lord and you sensed the power of God's presence there among you? Would you raise your hand? Would you just let me see? Wow. Would you hold it up just a moment? Look at that. Wow. Thank you so much. All across this. Isn't that something? Again, not that we can't thank God for the special times individually. There's a place. But again, our individual prayers make these prayers better. And this prayer makes my prayer better. It's going together, praying in the power of the Spirit. Would you turn to Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. I'll read a few verses here and I'll close. Acts chapter 1. Verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Jesus had come back to life from the dead, and he's getting ready to ascend back into heaven, and he gathers his disciples, and he says this. Well, actually, they ask him a question first, because he told them, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And verse 6 says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still looking for that, more of like that political. Brothers and sisters, the main power we need is not political, it's spiritual. Because the spiritual is greater. Then we want to influence so that we can extend the righteousness and reign of God where we are, whatever city, community, state, nation. So they say, are you going to restore the kingdom now? And verse 7, Jesus answered, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. So he says, don't worry about the timing of the Lord's return. He said, you just receive the power and then go and be a witness. Be ready, that's right. Verse 14, so they listened to the Lord and notice, Jesus fulfilled his word to them and in them and through them. The Bible says in verse 14, these all, how many?
All.
They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They all continued. They went back. They sought God and they had a holy harmony among them. And then it says on in chapter 2, verse 1, as they continued staying in that place of just one accord in prayer, verse 1 of chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, again, with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or other languages and dialects that they didn't know in their mind. They did the speaking, but the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. The Holy Spirit provided the language. They provided the vocal cords. All right? So they were all filled. They were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And that day, thousands of people came to know the Lord when Peter stood up and proclaimed the gospel message to them. See, when they heard that sound, it gathered a crowd. And they were like, what is all this? We hear this sound, and these people, aren't they all Galileans? And how is it we're hearing them in our own dialect? They're declaring the wonderful works of God, and how do they know that language? The Bible says this. It goes on toward the end of that chapter in verse 40. It wasn't just a one-day event. It says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. This is Peter speaking. Be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls or people were added to them. And notice, they continued steadfastly. Do you see it's a lifestyle? It's the Christian lifestyle. It's not a one-time event. It's they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That just simply means the teaching. And in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, because they were witnesses on their job. They were witnesses back in the community, in their town, wherever they were, in, you know, maybe their education setting. So they were empowered by the Spirit. They continued in a lifestyle of praying in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Let me close with two last references. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We need each other. We need each other. Do you believe we're more effective together? Together, we're more effective. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that Jesus healed a man through two of his followers. And because they preached in the name of Jesus, the religious leaders said, we don't want you to ever speak again in his name and talk about the resurrection. See, if that ever happens, now we're to be, you know, we're to honor those leaders and we're to, you know, be obedient to the law. But if there's ever a time where any human commands us to do something contrary to the word of God, we have a choice to make. Will we be obedient to a human or to God? They said, we're going to be obedient to God and you do whatever you need to do. And so they said this in, this is Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And so when those believers were let go after they further threatened them, it says they went to their own companions. See, that's coming together. They reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now, if all they did was complain, what good would have come out of it? But it didn't stop there. Verse 24, and so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God, notice again, with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and sea and all that's in it. And they quoted God's word. They brought his word back up to them in prayer. And then the Bible says, verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Notice they didn't just hide. Say, now there's a place sometimes people have to protect themselves. I know they're in countries and areas. We got to be wise. But this wasn't that case. But instead of just saying, you know, hiding and saying, well, we better just stay in here where it's safe and wait for Jesus to come back and rescue us. They didn't say that. They said, Lord, you see what they're saying. Now we ask you for more power so that we can go out and be your witnesses. So he says they went out and it says this, and we continue on reading there. It says in verse 30, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Thank God. Would you say, pray in the power of the Spirit? Amen. I'm going to close with just one last reference if you want to write it down. It's Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And I'm going to read it in a different translation. I think you'll like how it's worded here. So we need forgiveness and fellowship. Forgiveness and fellowship. You know that the verses we just read there, do you realize the church was birthed out of a corporate prayer meeting? The beginning of the church started out of believers just coming together in prayer. And I believe what I'm saying with all my heart, fruitful and effective Christian ministry to this day, if it's truly glorifying to God, it must be sustained by prayer. I'll say that again. Effective and fruitful ministry must be sustained by prayer. If not, we're relying on human intellect, human energy, and human ability. And that will not drive back the forces of the kingdom of darkness and will not expand God's kingdom and his will. So again, pray in the power of the Spirit. Would you just follow along here in this Passion Translation? The idea is like a meaning for meaning translation. And before I even read that, I want you to realize everyone who knows the Lord, everyone who knows the Lord, everyone who doesn't know God but wants to, you can know God, and God will use you. God will use any of us if we are simply willing and obedient. And the calling to partner with God to extend His reign, His kingdom, and His will on this earth is a high and holy calling. You have a high and holy calling on your life. You can lay up eternal treasure by praying in faith and believing God, praying in the power of the Spirit. Let me read this to you and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 in the Passion Translation. Now, my beloved ones, I've saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. That was enough to get me on it right there. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides for us, or that God provides, so you are protected as you confront the slanderer. I love this. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. You will rise victorious, church. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness, that breastplate of righteousness, as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, and you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace, the good news. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty, razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit. Would you say it with me? Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times, and pray the blessing of God upon all His believers. When Jesus wrapped up that guide, He said, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Brothers and sisters, the kingdom, power, and glory are God's. The prayer is ours. Pray in the power of the Spirit. Can we stand together?